You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 159, and we'll continue reading from Volume 3, from the section related to the preaching and miracles of Jesus. Today we read number 11, the Sermon on the Mount, the cure of a paralytic. 11. Jesus rode with several of the disciples over the lake and landed 1 hour to the north of Matthews. Already, many pagans, as well as those whom Jesus had cured and the newly baptized, had repaired to the mountain east of Bethsaida, Julius, where Jesus was to teach. All around stood the camps of the pagans. The disciples, who had been fishing on the night of the miraculous drought, asked Jesus whether they too should go with him, for their recent success had freed them from anxiety upon the score of provisions, and they felt that all was in his hands. Jesus replied that they should baptize those that were still in Capernaum, and after that employ their time at their accustomed occupations, as the immense number of strangers then in and around the city rendered extra supplies necessary. Before crossing the lake, Jesus delivered to his disciples a comprehensive instruction. In it, he gave them an idea of the whole plan of the discourses, upon which he intended to dwell for a long time. He told them that they, the disciples, were the salt of the earth, destined to vivify and preserve others. Consequently, that they themselves must not lose their savor. Jesus explained all this to them at full length, making use of numerous examples and parables. After that, he rowed across the lake. The disciples, the fishermen, and Saturnin began their work of baptizing in the valley of Capernaum. The son of the widow of Nain was here baptized and named Marshall, Saturnin imposing hands upon him. The holy women did not follow Jesus to the instructions, but remained behind to celebrate with the widow of Nain the baptismal feast of her son. There were with Jesus Joseph of Arimathea's nephews who had come from Jerusalem, Nathanael, Menahem of Cora, and many other disciples. In these last days, I saw about 30 of them gathered together in Capernaum. On landing at the east side of the lake, just below the mouth of the Jordan, the traveler ascended the mountain to the east, and then turning westward, went on to the spot upon which the instructions was to be given. Another way could be taken, namely that over the Jordan Bridge to the north of the lake. But this latter way, on account of the wild character of the country and its numerous ravines, was rather a difficult road to the mountain. Bethsaida Julius was situated on the eastern bank of the mouth of the Jordan, the river there forming a bend. The western shore was high, and to it ran a road. There was no teacher's chair on the mountain, only an eminence surrounded by a mound of earth and covered by an awning. The view from the west and southwest extended over the lake into the opposite mountains. One could even descry Mount Thabor. Crowds of people, most of them pagans that had received baptism, were encamped around. There were Jews also present. Separation between them was not so rigorously observed here, since communication between the Jews and Gentiles was greater in these parts, and on the side of the lake, the latter enjoyed certain privileges. Jesus began by enumerating the eight Beatitudes, then went on to explain the first. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He related examples and parables, spoke of the Messiah, and especially of the conversion of the Gentiles. Now was accomplished what the prophet foretold of the desired of nations. I will move all nations, and the desired of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. There was no curing on this day, for the sick had been healed on the preceding days. The Pharisees had come over in one of their own boats, and they listened to Jesus' words with chagrin and jealousy. The people had brought with them food, which they ate during the pauses of the instruction. Jesus and the disciples had fish, bread, and honey, also little flasks of some kind of juice or balm, a few drops of which were mixed with the water they drank. Toward evening, the people from Capernaum, Bethsaida, and other neighboring places returned to their homes in the boats that awaited them on the lake. Jesus and his disciples went down toward the valley of the Jordan and into the Shepherd Inn, where they passed the night. Jesus still continued to teach the disciples, thus to prepare them for their future mission. Jesus devoted 14 days to instructions on the 8 Beatitudes and spent the intervening Sabbath in Capernaum. On the following day, he continued his preaching on the mountain. Mary Cleophas, Moroni of name, and two other women were present. When Jesus, with the apostles and the disciples, went back to the lake, he spoke of their vocation in these words, "Ye are the light of the world." He illustrated by the similitude of the city seated on a mountain, the light on the candlestick, and the fulfilling of the law. Then he rode to Bethsaida and put up at Andrew's. Among the neophytes, whom Saturnin baptized on those days near Capernaum, were some Jews from Achaia, whose ancestors had fled thither at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Bethsaida Julius was a recently built city, inhabited mostly by pagans. There were, however, some Jews, and the city possessed a famous school in which all kinds of knowledge were taught. Jesus had not yet visited it, but the inhabitants went out to the instruction and also to Capernaum, where their sick were cured. Bethsaida Julius was beautifully situated in the narrow valley of the Jordan, built a little up on the eastern side of the mountain, 1/2 hour from the point where the river flows into the lake. 1 hour northward, a stone bridge spanned the Jordan. While going down from the mountain whereon he had been teaching, Jesus again instructed the disciples and spoke of the sufferings and sharp persecutions in store for them. He slept that night in Peter's bark. When Jesus next day went down from the mountain to Capernaum, he found a crowd of people assembled to bid him welcome. He repaired to Peter's house near the city. It stood outside the gate to the right on entering the city from the valley. When it was known that Jesus and the disciples were in the house, a crowd soon gathered around him. The scribes and Pharisees also hastened out to hear him. The whole court around the open hall in which Jesus sat and taught with the disciples and scribes was full. He spoke of the Ten Commandments and coming to the words recorded in the Gospel of the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said to them of old, Thou shalt not kill." He based upon them his instruction on the forgiveness of injuries and the love of one's enemies. Just at this moment, a loud noise arose on the roof of the hall, and through the usual opening in the ceiling, a paralytic on his bed was lowered by 4 men who cried out, "Lord, have pity on us, a poor, sick man." He was let down by 2 cords into the midst of the assembly before Jesus. The friends of the sick man had tried in vain to carry him through the crowd into the courtyard and had at last mounted the outside steps to the roof of the hall, whose trap door they opened. All eyes were fixed upon the invalid, and the Pharisees were vexed at what appeared to them a great misdemeanor, a piece of unheard-of impertinence. But Jesus, who was pleased at the faith of the poor people, stepped forward and addressed the paralytic who lay there motionless. "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee," words which were, as usual, particularly distasteful to the Pharisees. They thought within themselves, "That is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus saw their thoughts and said, "Wherefore have ye such thoughts of bitterness in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to thee," here Jesus turned to the paralytic, "arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And immediately the man arose, cured, rolled up the coverlets of his bed, laid the laths of the frame together, took them under his arm and upon his shoulder, and accompanied by those that had brought him and some other friends, went off singing canticles of praise, while the whole multitude shouted for joy. The Pharisees, full of rage, slipped away one by one. It was now the Sabbath, and Jesus, followed by the multitude, and repaired to the synagogue. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Well, one of the things we notice in our reading today is that the widow of Nain, her son who was raised from the dead, he receives baptism today. Jesus told him to be baptized, and so now here he fulfills what Jesus has asked. Jesus asks so much of us, and when we are forgiven, he says, go and sin no more at the end of confession. And do we listen to those words of Jesus? Do we really go and sin no more? Do we carry out our end of the bargain when it comes to our relationship with the Lord and all that he wishes to do and all that he does and gives to us? It says that Jesus devoted 14 days to instructions on the eight Beatitudes and spent the intervening Sabbath in Capernaum. These are rich teachings. He has to elaborate. He wants people to know them. He wants them really to interiorize the message. He wants them to know what it means to be a blessed of God. And so Jesus then heals this paralytic man at the very end of our reading today. Lord, have pity upon a poor sick man. So, you know, we hear this reading at Mass and we think of it, we kind of picture it in our mind's eye, and you think about the devotion of the people that bring the paralytic man, that they want to see this man healed, that they want to get to Jesus, that they go to all lengths and all any way possible to get to the Lord and to make this request. And Jesus, he does have mercy. He does say your sins are forgiven. He does say, pick up your mat. And so this man immediately arose. Wasn't delayed. He immediately arose. Now a paralyzed man walks. How do you think he spends the rest of his days? What does he say? What does he do? They went off singing canticles of praise while the whole multitude shouted for joy. But yet there were a few. The Pharisees, full of rage, slipped away one by one. Jesus even asks them, why do you have such bitterness in your hearts? Can you rejoice over good that is happening in the church? Or does some bitterness always have to come out? We want to be with the Lord. We want to rejoice at what he is doing, at what he is accomplishing. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others, email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation, with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.